Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? We welcome you in to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. James Coe here with you, your host. Oh man, we got a great show in front of us here today. Last week we talked about rookies. This week, or I guess it was earlier this week, we talked about rookies. Today we shall talk about aging vets. Who will be strong and who could be set for an epic decline? Joined alongside by the magical beard of fantasy himself, Matt Franciscovich, the franchise is in the building. What's up?
What's up, man? It's that time of year where you're trying to organize all of your fantasy drafts.
Oh, it's the same. Are you a commish?
I am the commission of a dynasty league, yeah.
Oh.
So I got that. I got my league of record. I know there's going to be like 8 more drafts in a 3-day span, and I'm stressing out.
I feel like in a dynasty, you should just do email drafts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know it's an auction league.
And, oh, it's an auction.
It's a long story, but you know, okay. I get anxious about these kinds of things.
To all the commissioners out there, God bless you.
Yeah.
Being a commissioner sucks.
It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, man. It does.
We got the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gelhar. What's cracking?
Things are heating up, man. We're getting down to go time here. August is the biggest month of the season for us, pretty much.
And, right.
We're just getting ready. Get that grind. That grind is coming back and starting to get in the zone.
And I will tell the listeners out there, starting in August, we will start our listener league drive.
Yes.
Right. So rate, review, subscribe to the podcast today. Do it right now. But starting in August, we will solicit the fans to rate and review. The best reviews will join us in a listener league for those of you following along. Marcus Grant, MG My Guy, what's up?
Not much, man. It's another good day. We're closer to real, actual football news, you know?
Oh.
I guess we actually have some now, right?
Well,
we've got plenty.
We've got so much.
A ton.
We've got
a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely really ridiculous. But as you mentioned, next week, we have the Hall of Fame game next week, do we not?
I believe next Thursday, yes.
Ooh,
wow.
Wee!
A week from today.
Let's cross our fingers and hope that we actually have a Hall of Fame game, that paint issues are not going to rear their ugly head.
Good point.
And that we actually play football. Let's not count our football game.
Oh, wait. No,
can you introduce me so I can interject
true
on that?
We have the fantasy maverick himself, Adam Rankwell.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. But last year, it was because there was a concert, and they tried to, like, melt the ice or something?
No. They used blow dryers to heat the paint so it would dry
and
faster.
It made it slick.
And it got too slick.
Got
or not like
slick
blow dryers, but they used heating mechanisms.
Those portable, basically.
But the game's on Thursday now. The Hall of Fame induction ceremony is on Saturday.
Okay.
Which is going to be weird because I'm not going this year. Because now that everybody, like now that I know three of the people, I actually have.
They are coworkers.
With two of them, they would know who I am.
Okay.
Which is everybody knows, if you read my stuff, you know that I talk to LaDainian a lot.
He's awesome.
You can figure out who
he
is.
No, he is awesome, though.
He's the best.
Like, for the folks who don't know, LaDainian Tomlinson is legitimately awesome. He will take time out of his day to try and legitimately ask you about your day. And it's not one of those obligatory, hey, how was your day? Okay, cool, I really don't care, and just stiff arms you and goes by. He really wants to know about your – and he will remember stuff. LT is really cool, by the
way.
It's
awesome.
Yeah, he's really
cool. And I was a former Chargers season ticket holder. So we go back and talk about a lot of that stuff. In the first game that I ever went to, the Chargers were playing host to the Dallas Cowboys in week one, but general manager A.J. Smith was in a contract dispute with Antonio Gates and suspended him.
Shocking.
And the Chargers lost the game. They had 4 chances to score from the 7-yard line.
And, of course,
and they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And there's no Antonio Gates. And I'm not sure that he would have helped, but I'm saying he might not have hurt.
So there you go. Like I said, we've got a great show in front of us here today. Man.
Also, you know what? I was going to say this about being a Dynasty League manager.
What's up?
Or being a manager.
Commissioner.
A commissioner.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm going to do something highly like controversial.
Okay.
Controversial. Ooh. Because this year, because we always have a destination draft, and this year I'm not even putting it up for a vote. I'm making everybody there.
Are you even, the commish?
There's 12 of us. 9 of us will be there.
Okay.
And even the 3 people who will be Skyping in, because we don't do it online.
Beautiful.
Hawaiian shirts.
Boom.
It's controversial, but
do it up.
You got to walk around the gas lamp like that for the rest of the night, too. At least it's not coming off after the draft.
At least you'll be comfortable.
You got to go to Dick's Last Resort in that thing, man. Tivioli's, all those places.
All right, listen, we welcome in the folks on Facebook Live as well. Hopefully the audio issues will be resolved today.
One of my league mates is probably watching, too, and I think she's going to give that
okay,
thumbs up.
That's great. We have a vet report here for you. Like I said, we're going to talk all things aging veterans. Only 30-year-old players and above. That's it. That is it. Which ones are still strong? Which ones could be set for a fall off? I would imagine we will talk about Jamal Charles today. I would imagine we will talk about Adrian Peterson today. I would imagine we will talk about Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn!
Beast mode.
Beast mode.
What happened?
In today's episode, we will
close out with
a round of Daily Daps. Oh. But first, we start the show, as always, with your top headlines.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
Oh, man, we got all kinds of news coming out of Baltimore. All kinds of news, man.
Big news day in general,
the last couple. It's craziness, man. Look, we'll start with Kenneth Dixon. All right, he's out for the season now. Mm. We knew he was going to be suspended, but now he is out for the season with a torn meniscus. Look, from a fantasy perspective, we'll focus on fantasy here in that running back backfield, but the values for Terrence West and Danny Woodhead, I would imagine Alex Gilhar, certainly get a boost, but talk to me about Terrence West.
Well, this was a situation I was really liking West this year because he was coming at a discount. A lot of people were drafting Dixon higher than West, but West was going to be the starter for at least the first 4 weeks and have a chance to beat out Dixon beyond that. Now that Dixon is just out of the picture, I think this creates a very clear backfield split and what should be a very productive backfield too. Terrence West can catch passes. He'll probably mix in a few. The Ravens target backs a lot. They threw the ball to Kyle Juszczyk over 50 times last year. He's gone. Woodhead should take most of those and more targets. But West will mix in. He's a bigger guy. He'll probably be the goal line guy. He'll be the early down guy and the guy that they lean to if they have a lead and try to want to salt away a win. So he's a great late-round running back. His ADP is going to start climbing. But
it will.
Man, if you go wide receiver early and are looking for a discounted leading back and in a decent offense, Terrence West is a guy to call off the draft board.
Man, I tell you what, I don't hate it. Right now his ADP is in the 10th or 11th round if you're in a 10-team standard league. But like you said, as draft days get closer, I think his value will rise. Don't be surprised come draft day if his value is in the 7th round. But we shall see. Even in the 7th round, though, that's not bad.
No worries about Bobby Rainey.
I don't think so. Look, can I say this about Danny Woodhead as well? Look, I know he's coming off of major surgery and a couple of different major injuries. But if Joe Flacco is there and if he is healthy, by the way, that's another news item. We'll get to that in just a moment. But if he is healthy, I don't know, Adam, right? I kind of feel good about Danny Woodhead. He's a veteran. This is a team that likes to pass the ball. Danny Woodhead obviously is a pass-catching back. Just to me, I don't know why, I just get this feeling that Danny Woodhead actually might be the biggest beneficiary of this Kenneth Dixon injury.
Well, I really think that we need to, and you mentioned it a moment ago, just because I think we're only seeing part of the story when you're talking about the Ravens without discussing the fact that Joe Flacco is going to be. Plus, they've had a retirement as well on the offensive line, and I don't know how much that's going to play into anything, but at the same time, this team has thrown the ball more than any other over the last 2 years. If Joe Flacco is not going to be available, I would imagine they're going to be playing from behind in a lot more games than they're going to be trying to, you know, play out the string and do something like that. So I love Danny Woodhead here, and I think that even on good teams or even at any time during the course of his career, that because his receiving yardage gives him such a safe floor.
Right.
That he is a more valuable prospect to have because you figure like he's gonna get you 4 points every week just on receiving yards. It seems like, and then whatever he does rushing wise
is a bonus.
If he gets into the end zone, it's a bonus. So
and he's been so good about finding the end zone as well. He's been one of those touchdown mavens, man. So
it's 100%.
On that note too, Steve Smith led Baltimore wide receivers in red zone targets last year with 11. He's gone. Dennis Pitta led the whole team in red zone targets with 14 last year.
Yeah.
He's gone. All those are going to go to Danny Woodhead.
I mean, you would at least think the Pitta targets would go that way. I mean, you know, certainly with Jeremy Maclin there, I would imagine Maclin fits into that you know, wide receiver role there. So, but
he's just going to assume what Steve Smith was getting last.
That's yeah. exactly right. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying the Dennis Pitta targets seem like they would translate more to Danny Woodhead. But, again, it's hard to talk about the Baltimore offense without talking. Forget about the backfield, man. I mean, if Joe Flacco is not right, and this was the other part of the news, right, is that Joe Flacco expected to miss the first week of training camp with a back injury, a herniated disc, I believe, a bulging disc or something in his back. He was lifting weights, and he threw his back out.
Dang.
That's not good. That is not good. That makes me very concerned. This could be an issue, Marcus Grant, that I think will, haunt him throughout the season.
I mean, maybe. I guess I'd be more concerned about it if I were actually considering drafting Joe Flacco.
It's not so much drafting Joe Flacco.
It's an offense.
Yeah, it's the supporting cast. I mean, because even though Joe Flacco is not necessarily, we make fun of the elite status, right? But the bottom line is, he is a high-quality quarterback, and he's the guy that makes that offense move.
I mean, he is to a point, you know, I don't know. I guess I look at the Ravens offense and I'm generally underwhelmed by it. So maybe that's my problem to begin with. As I sit here and I'm trying to figure out who is, because their backup quarterback doesn't
need Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett, there it is.
Yeah.
I was going to say Kyle Buller. I'm like, wait.
Flashback to the early 2000s.
I love it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, look, if they decide, if Joe Flacco can't go, yeah. I think it impacts some of those guys who play downfield. It impacts some of their deeper threats. I think you certainly calm down on all this Breshad Perriman talk we've heard in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, I think still guys like Danny Woodhead, some of those guys who run the shorter, more intermediate routes can still succeed. I mean, I think we saw Mike Wallace do some good things last year, kind of opening up his route tree a little bit more. Jeremy Maclin, we know, obviously doesn't need to go deep because he's worked in an offense that doesn't do that. So, you know, I don't know that Joe Flacco being there has as much of a major impact on this offense as you would think. It still is going to be a whole bunch of meh.
By the way, the only other quarterback on the roster, I love this, Dustin Vaughn.
Old D. Vaughn.
Good stuff. Cool.
Anyone want to venture a guess as to what college you went to?
I'm cheating because I'm looking at the roster. I'm looking at the roster.
Hawaii?
West Texas A&M.
Oh, that's close.
West Texas A&M.
Isn't that where John Moxon ended up after he left
Oh, my God.
West
is
Canada?
It?
I have no idea.
No, Moxon went to Brown.
Oh, that's right.
He
went
to Brown. Yeah. Come on.
He was smart.
Yeah, he didn't want to keep playing football, so he went to Brown.
Yeah, but he ended up playing football. I wrote a whole bunch of Varsity Blues fan fiction.
You did? And it's good.
Yeah, it was Lance Harbor goes to one of those small schools. No, he goes to the
so maybe Lance Harbor goes to West Texas.
No,
then he gets drafted by the Bears eventually.
Exactly. He beats Rodgers.
Emphasis on fiction.
It is fan fiction because he goes to the junior college that Kyle Long went to in Orange County. Goodness gracious. Saddleback, which would have led him to Washington State because the years would have jived because Washington State had a – God, in the late 90s, 2000s, they had a Heisman candidate. They had a guy who had finished second, the quarterback, who was,
Ryan Leaf?
Not Ryan Leaf. No, it's after Ryan Leaf. There was another Washington State quarterback who was amazing. So I had the whole thing. I got to go back and unearth that. Because it's, let me tell you, it's worth it.
That's up for
Joe Flacco, not worth it. Not worth drafting.
No, he's not.
Reading Lance Harbor fan fiction.
Joe Flacco, his back injury will keep him out for the next 3 to 6 weeks. He will most certainly miss the first week of training camp, and then they will evaluate from there. Jordan Reed will start training camp on the PUP list with a toe sprain. Team is calling it a, quote, precautionary move. But according to J.P. Finlay of CSN Mid-Atlantic, the injury and the PUP list designation was, quote, very unexpected, per Finlay's sources. Reed, in 12 games last year, 686 yards, 66 receptions, 89 targets, and 6
Wait, we also – John Urschel, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep sticking on the Ravens.
Okay.
John Urschel, the offensive lineman, who was in those Beats commercials with J.J. Watt, he retired.
Yes.
He was a starter, right? He was their
starting center.
So that's also big when you think about the running attack.
True.
But again, so there's a lot of red flags coming up from the radio. I'm sorry, I just wanted to get that out
Please.
There. Because I think that – because Terrence West is another – I'm with Alex. I mean, I like Danny Woodhead, but I also like Terrence West a lot. I think he was in one of the early editions of Ranks 11, because
I
really like him. I mean, I've loved him since I saw him at the
Cleveland.
Combine. I wasn't a big Towson State guy, but I remember him coming out of the combine and just crushing it. So when you see that you're losing your starting center,
quarterback issues, yep.
And then so I love Terrence West still, and I hope that the value will still continue to be there.
Yeah.
But
the good thing is they've got a great coaching staff there with Harbaugh and everything. So
they do. I mean, yeah.
You know, I that gives me a little bit of faith. You know what I mean? If this was a new coach or if this was a coach with a bad track record, I wouldn't feel as good. But Harbaugh there manning the ship, I don't know. We'll see. We'll go to Washington. As we mentioned, Jordan Reed will start training camp on the PUP list. He has a top 50 ADP right now on Fantasy Football Calculator. I'll ask you, Alex Gilhart, is he worth it there?
I still think he is. I mean, he's one of the ultimate like ceiling chasing players.
He is.
Where when when he's healthy on the field, he commands a ton of red zone targets. He's a huge difference maker, and he has week winning upside as a tight end, which is rare. So you know what you're getting into. I mean, top 50 isn't crazy. If we were talking like top 30, top 25,
yeah, it starts getting a little pricey.
Then you back off, but top 50, you know that if you get him and he plays 13, 14 games even at his near peak capacity, he's going to be way more. You're going to get way bigger turn on your draft investment.
You know what I love about where he's going right now? He's only going a handful of picks before Greg Olsen.
Literally never missed a game.
He's never missed a game. He's got, you know, all these 1,000-yard seasons under his belt. It's, to me, a Rorschach test, right, of how you view drafting. Are you going to go with Jordan Reed or are you going to go with Greg Olsen because their ADP value is so similar?
Yeah.
It's how do you view approaching a draft? Are you chasing the upside, as you mentioned, or do you go to old Mr. Reliable and Greg Olsen? So I find that fascinating that their ADP is so similar right now.
I think for a lot of people who want to take a risky pick or want to be kind of dangerous with one of their, like tight end's the one they're like, you're super conservative with everything else, but you're like, you know what, Jordan Reed, yeah, I'll do it. Because like Alex is right, because it is the perfect, like, just storm chaser.
Yeah.
Like, because when you watch him, when he's available to play and he's out there on the field, you're
looks
like,
great.
Good God, he is a dominant player. Mm-hmm. But I don't see enough of it. And where he goes off the board, you're like, all right, I will allow that. I will allow that person, man or woman, to draft him, and I'm going to wait. I like your guy, Martellus Bennett.
Love him.
Yep. Total Access painted me into a corner where I had to say he was going to be their number one. Like he was going to be the number one scoring tight end. I'm like what? Like we built the graphic. Like, yeah, just to pull this back. We built the graphic. I'm like, oh, for Christ, fine. Yeah.
Really?
Martellus Bennett, the number one tight end. Whatever. Who remembers? Well, if it jinxes a Packer, I don't care.
Boo. Boo this man.
Okay. All right, so philosophical question here, though.
Please.
Like how many times or how many games or whatever metric you want to use does a player have to miss before the risk outweighs the reward?
That's a great question.
Because as I sit here and look at Jordan Reed's numbers, right?
Yeah.
He's played 14 games in a season once. He's never started more than 9 games. Only once has he actually topped 700 receiving yards.
Oh.
And, like, I don't doubt his ability. I really don't. And I understand completely what Alex is saying, but just from a philosophical standpoint, at what point do you look at a guy and you look at his track record?
This is his fifth year in the league, right?
This is his fifth year.
Yes.
So 4 previous years, he's never played full 16. He's never started more than
nine games.
He's never topped 700 yards.
No, he has once. He had 1 year of 952 and 11. That was 2 seasons ago.
And that's the ghost you're chasing, man.
That's the ghost you're chasing.
That's the ghost.
Well, I think it comes down to, it's a good question, is your draft philosophy. I was having a discussion with somebody on this yesterday who was like talking about taking Derek Carr over Russell Wilson in fantasy because they thought he was the safer pick because he had a better offensive line and was less likely to get injured. And like I feel like I've said this numerous times in this podcast, is I don't draft scared when I'm going after players.
Don't be scared.
Like, yeah, you could ignore Jordan Reed and Tyler Eifert, who each have very realistic tight end one ceilings. Like, if either of them stayed healthy for 16 games, I don't think it would surprise anybody in this room if they finished higher than Gronk in fantasy scoring. Like, their ceiling is that high. So it's up to that. It's like, do you accept the risk and chase the ceilings with players, or do you want to, you know, live out your fantasy drafts like you're just eating bologna and mayonnaise sandwiches all day?
Well,
I mean, but sometimes you eat bad bologna and you're in a hospital for a while.
And it all depends on where you're drafting them. I mean, it's also trying to eliminate as much of the house advantage as possible. It's like fantasy dominoes that Bernie Mac was pushing in Ocean's 13. That had a 12% house advantage. Who would play this casino game? It's lunacy. I would rather play blackjack where they're paying 3-2 instead of 6-5 on blackjack. That's all. I'm just looking for a little bit of an edge. And if I think that somebody like the player I'm thinking of drafting as my tight end is going to be available in the 8th, 9th, 10th round, I would rather use that 4th round pick on somebody else who's probably a little bit more reliable.
And it can come down to roster construction too, because this brings me back to one of the mocks we did, the one where Graham Barfield, fantasy guru, joined us. He played his mock like chasing upside and touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So he took Davante Adams early. He took Jordan Reed. He took like LeGarrette Blount, and he took a bunch of these players. And, you know, it all bakes into how you want to build your team. If you want it where tight end is a huge advantage for you, then, yeah, chase a guy like that and maybe get some help later. But it just comes down to how your draft's unfolding and how you're constructing your roster too.
But just because of the position, tight end, if you take Jordan Reed in a top 50 pick, the roster construction becomes so different. You know what I mean? Now this definitely shapes how you will draft moving forward. And that's, to me, where whenever I do a move like that, I end up hating my draft because I feel like I start chasing players later in the draft.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm with Rank here. If I don't – you can't blame anybody for taking him with a top 50 pick. We're talking about Jordan Reed. But it won't be me. Because I just always find myself not liking my roster if I do that at the tight end position, which is why, you know, and again, I won't take a guy like Rob Gronkowski either. That's just me. I don't fault anybody for doing it. It's just not me. It's not my style of drafting. All right, we'll stay at the tight end position. We'll talk about guys. We'll stay with guys who are tight ends who are continually hurt. We'll talk about Tyler Eifert. Apparently, he looked like he was good to go, according to Bengals.com. Gio Bernard also looking like he's pretty healthy as well, per the team's website. Remember, Gio coming back from an ACL, Eifert coming back from whatever injury ailment that he has in his career. I think it's his back this time. Speaking of guys that are always hurt and on the Bengals as well, how about John Ross? I mean, we're talking about a rookie, unbelievable speed, but is still apparently a couple of weeks away from practicing. Couple of weeks away from practicing, per the team's website. Ross had shoulder surgery this offseason. Not that John Ross is going to be a draftable player anyways, Matt Franciscovich, but certainly this puts a damper there. Does it give A.J. Green any boost? Does it give, you know, Brandon LaFell a boost? Does it give who am I thinking of? Tyler Boyd a boost at all?
I think when the Bengals drafted Ross, they knew that he was going to be in line for the surgery, so this was probably part of their plan. And it's a shoulder thing, so it's not going to affect his speed. But as long as he's out, I think him being on the field would help a guy like A.J. Green because it distracts the defenses.
Right.
And as far as Brandon LaFell and Tyler Boyd, I mean, I'm probably not looking at those guys in fantasy. A.J. Green's the only guy I want, and then maybe I'll take a late-round flyer on a guy like Ross. So I think his absence is a negative because he's a rookie and he needs those reps.
He does.
But once he's on the field, I think him just running down the field will help, get defenses off a guy like A.J. Green. So
let's go to Denver. Devontae Booker fractured his wrist. He's going to start training camp on the PUP list. He is expected to miss, 6 to 8 weeks, I think was the report there. So certainly it opens the door for Jamal Charles, who reported to camp healthy. And he is a name that right now, you're looking at him going in the double-digit rounds, but just because of name value, because of where he's playing, a high-profile team like the Denver Broncos, I would imagine, Marcus Grant, that his value will start to go up in terms of his ADP. His true value, I don't know, but his ADP, I know, will go up.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at this whole backfield is just sort of weird.
It's a mess.
It is. Yeah, Franchise, I'm glad you're here to clean
it up. I'm here. I'll clean it up for you. Yeah, I got my broom.
You know, it's sort of a mess.
Doesn't the Devontae Booker issue, the injury anyways, clear it up for you a bit?
A little bit, but I mean, I don't know that my issue with C.J. Anderson was so much who's going to take touches, because I don't know. I guess I wasn't really concerned about Devontae Booker.
Okay.
I just wonder if this team can run the ball effectively
at all.
at all. You know, I have so many questions about the Broncos offense. I mean, one, starting with who's going to be the quarterback. Is it Trevor Siemian? Is it going to be Paxton Lynch? And I think everything kind of, flows from there. You know, after what we saw from Devontae Booker last year, I don't know that anybody was really counting on him to be a big factor in what happens this year. There's still the issue of what Jamal Charles can be, whether or not he's going to be, and I know we're going to get to it in the vet report. As much as I really wanted C.J. Anderson to pop last year and it didn't quite happen, I'm sort of off this backfield as a whole this year.
All right, makes sense to
you.
Me.
I'm with
you. There's a super sleeper there, right?
D'Angelo Henderson.
D'Angelo Henderson.
I was trying to save that one. Oh. Don't give it all away.
Okay.
Let people work for it a little.
Super sleeper.
Well, we are the
people.
You are the creator of the danger zone.
There's people right now taking notes.
Yeah.
And writing down D'Angelo Henderson.
Can you tell me about his game a little bit?
He's a true speedster. He's somebody who's, more of a project, but we've seen with the Broncos, and I know they've had many, many, many coaching changes, it seems like, over the last couple of years. But I think that he's somebody who could come in and make a little bit of an impact. I don't think that they see C.J. Anderson as a long-term value. I think that Jamal Charles has some injury history, even though he's healthy right now. So the one thing I like about D'Angelo is that he's going to have an opportunity. And I'm going to watch it. I don't necessarily like watching to see, who's going to play and who's this. If the Broncos don't sign a veteran, if they don't feel the need to bring in somebody else, then that means to me that they have a lot of confidence in him, that they're going to give him a full run. And I truly believe that we'll see enough flashes out of him late in preseason games that his name will be trending on Twitter and people are like, hey, should I draft him in the 10th round? You're like, well, maybe. But the Broncos, but like Marcus said, there's really nothing concrete about this offense and everything's pure flyer. And this is actually kind of like why I like drafting this time of year. It's like, you got to make this call right now. Who is going to be the guy? And you'll have the glory forever if you take Henderson.
Man, I tell you what.
The thing about Henderson is he's already 25 years old.
So now you're going to age shame him.
I mean,
that's old for a rookie.
Yeah, maybe.
So is Mike Anderson.
I'm also not drafting this guy for the next 5 years.
I know.
Drafting him for this year. That's all that matters. We'll stay in the AFC West. Cardale Jones.
Just because you're not 25 yet and can't rent a car. You got to take it out on poor D'Angelo.
Hey, man, he's just pointing it out. He said he's a super sleeper. Maybe people in dynasty leagues are starting to look at guys like this.
You know what? He just wants to make an NFL roster and hopefully make an impact.
Hopes and dreams, man.
And you hate that. You're just against it.
I am. I don't want anyone to succeed ever. I hope everyone always
fails.
Anti-hope,
yes. Anti-dreams.
This podcast took a dark turn.
So dour now.
Oh, man. All right. We'll stay in the
AFC check in
West.
With Facebook Live.
Yeah, hey, Facebook Live. What's up? Cardale Jones traded to the Chargers. The Chargers gave up a late-round draft pick. He goes from Buffalo to L.A. I got it right this time.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a major weather upgrade for him. Major weather upgrade for him.
I did not originally put this in the rundown, but it is now in the rundown.
Well, we don't have to talk about it.
In all caps. For whatever reason. Alex Gellhart.
Don't forget that at the end of it, it says Cardale to the Chargers. This is big news.
This is big news. It's in all caps.
No, it's really not big news. Okay. I was making sure I hadn't missed any other training camp injuries because I was watching the U.S. Gold Cup victory last night. So I didn't realize Flacco was injured. I pulled up Twitter later. I was home on my couch and I see you fantasy gods, please. Dixon, Flacco. And all this. I'm like, wait, what?
Happened to Flacco? Yeah, I know. It was the injury news was coming hot and heavy, man. It was a crazy day yesterday. All right, let's talk about some vets.
Let's.
Aging vets. Aging
vets. Wait, you want to talk about Cardale?
I do not want to talk about Cardale. I like Cardale Jones.
He is a good prospect.
I think he's a good prospect. And by
Tony Lynn was his offensive coordinator last year.
That's true.
Or interim head coach, right?
Interim head coach. But I don't even know if that's a good thing. I feel like we should take this conversation offline. I don't know if that's a good thing because he's the guy that put him third string. You know what I'm saying?
Just because he wasn't ready to play last year doesn't mean that he's a prospect now.
I know.
He traded for him.
Big body. If no one's familiar with Cardale Jones, big body guy, needs to work on his accuracy. But, man, he has a freaking cannon. And I think it actually pairs well with what, Philip Rivers does already. He's a good backup anyways for San Diego. So there you go.
Los Angeles.
Oh
man.
You know what? It's fun because we took him back. Gave him one last chance to screw it up, and he
nailed it.
Nailed it.
Oh, L.A. All right. Should we call – I feel – can we call him the Carson Chargers?
Let's call him the Clippers.
Let's call him the Carson Chargers. They're playing out of Carson.
Because they're LAC.
LAC. What's LAC. They moved from San Diego.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about aging veterans. We're talking about guys that are just 30 years and up, not 25 years and older. I know franchise.
That's the oldest. Like, they're the olds. Like, this guy's 25.
Let's go.
You're not like Kyrie Irving because he's 25. Do you feel like an NBA team's
going to be? Kyrie Irving is 25.
You guys are taking this too far.
I feel like he's been in the league for like a billion years.
Yeah, because they come out when they're play 1 year and they.
All right. Let's talk about aging vets that will defy father time, a la Larry Fitz. We'll start with the franchise. Do you got an aging veteran on your mind that you think will, again, perform in 2017?
You know what? I'm going to go with Antonio Gates here.
Okay.
Everyone's all on Hunter Henry, and I understand he's a rising prospect.
Yeah.
But Antonio Gates in 14 games still saw 93 targets last
year. That's a lot.
That will probably come down.
Okay.
But not so much where he won't have value in fantasy. Like, even if his targets regress to maybe 65, 70, like, that's still, like, tight end one value in a 12-team league. Mm. Right. And him and Rivers are working on the record books. I think he needs one more touchdown to break the Tony Gonzalez record for tight ends. And I think he's going to – as long as he's healthy – he's 37 years old now. I think he's going to remain a big part of that offense, and there's a lot of wide receivers there, a lot of targets to go around, but I think Gates is the go-to guy in the red zone.
And right now, Gates is he's a throwaway pick in drafts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're getting this guy 15th round.
Mm-hmm. So totally, for free. Tight end 16 or something like that is where he's going on average.
So I would say, you know, even if you miss on the pick, it doesn't hurt you that
much. There's no risk.
Right, there's no risk because there's going to be another tight end that you could probably – I think Deion Sims for Chicago, I think, will be a guy that, you know, if you miss on Gates – Deion Sims will be there.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, and what drop-off are you really getting there? So,
that's true.
I don't hate it. I think
they're going to go. They're going to try to get Gates the record early.
Yeah.
I think like week two when they're playing in front of 30,000 Dolphins fans.
For sure.
StubHub Center. Then it's like, hey, he's got the record. Like, okay, now goodbye.
All right. Okay.
I wish, you know who I wish would do something like that? The Angels. Like, hey, Pujols got a 600th home run. You can bat him eighth now. Or not at all.
Okay. All right. Adam Wright, give me an aging vet you believe will defy father time.
I didn't know until you had kind of given us a handy list that this young man was 30 years of age.
Okay.
But Pierre Garçon, I'm all about this season. I think in the Kyle Shanahan offense in San Francisco that I think, of course, that team is going to struggle, but the offense will not. They're going to be in a position where they're going to be throwing the ball an absolute ton. And, you know, Hoyer and Barkley are serviceable. They took a guy, they did well last year for Cam Meredith and Alshon Jeffrey, and so I think that they're good enough quarterbacks to make this guy an effective weapon, and finding number one receivers is not, you know, that's where I like to lean, you know, because a lot of people will go after the two guy or anything.
Well, number one receivers in a high volume.
In a high volume offense, right. With a terrible offense, or a bad team, but the offense should be good enough, and I think that Pierre Garçon is highly undervalued, and he's somebody who could definitely he's going to flirt with the top 10.
Flirt with a top 10 finish?
Yeah, he'll 100%.
Yowza. Oh,
that's in fantasy points?
Yes.
Bro.
That's easy.
We'll see.
I don't even think that's a bold proclamation.
Yes, it is.
He'll be a top 10-ish receiver.
It's not going to be a top 10.
I don't want to be harangued if he finishes 11th.
You will be.
I actually think it would have been a bold call to say he would flirt with a top 20 finish.
I don't think that's bold at all.
Now you're being ridiculous.
Okay. All right. He's got a value in the mid-90s.
Mild. I want the mild salsa, please.
Mid-90s.
I want the pace mild.
On fantasy football calculator. Last year he had 1,041 yards, 3 touchdowns, though. The 1041 was the second most of his career. And
so he's trending up.
The second 1,000-yard season in his illustrious 9-year career. Now he goes to San Francisco.
He goes to Kyle Shanahan.
I don't particularly – I won't be investing in
Pierre
Garçon. I will not be investing in Pierre Garçon.
Okay, fine.
And like I said, I think a top 20.
It's not going to hurt you. Don't act like you're going to hurt my feelings. Fine. I'll
just
draft him.
Okay, fine.
I'm happy. Don't invent. I'd
encourage all of you. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, give me an aging vet you believe will perform in 2017.
All right, can I take a guy that's not on this list?
Of course.
So Michael Crabtree turns 30 like 2 weeks into the season.
Okay.
Count? Are we counting that? Does it have to be before week one?
Sure, it counts.
All right.
He's 29 right now. I don't know.
He turns 30 in mid-September. Okay. It's like a couple weeks into the season.
It's his age 30 season.
Right, correct.
Okay.
And I know everybody's waiting for Amari Cooper to hit that ceiling to be the guy that we all believe he can be.
Okay.
In the interim, Michael Crabtree's been maybe the better fantasy receiver.
He has outscored him.
Sure.
You know, he's outscored him straight up.
He's kind of been the better guy in that offense the last couple of years.
Right.
For all the great athletic things that Amari Cooper can do.
Right.
When the Raiders need to move the football, when they've got to pick up first downs, Derek Carr is looking in Michael Crabtree's direction. He's the guy who's kind of that possession receiver. He's the chain mover. I know it's not sexy, but he gets the football. He's got really quality hands, and he also gets more red zone look. I don't know why Amari Cooper doesn't get looked at in the red zone, but he just doesn't.
And yeah, so Michael, kinda weird,
Michael Crabtree gets some of those looks there, and so I don't see why this changes this year. Even if Amari Cooper has a big season, I just don't know how Michael Crabtree still doesn't end up with 1,000 receiving yards and somewhere hanging around that top 15 again.
All right. Michael Crabtree right now on Fantasy Football Calculator has an ADP in the 50s. So you can get him in the fifth or sixth round of your fantasy drafts. Alex Gelhar, give me an aging veteran that you believe will be better than anticipated in 2017.
Well, one guy who isn't on this list who just want to give a shout-out to is my boy Jordy Nelson. I think he's going to turn 32 this year.
Okay.
And also, fun stat I discovered yesterday. Over the last three seasons he's played with Rodgers, just counting the games in 2013 they played together because Rodgers missed seven with that broken collarbone, Nelson averages about 28.6% of the red zone targets.
Whoa.
From Rodgers.
Wow.
That seems high.
That's a lot.
Big
That's
number.
A lot. So he should be still be pretty solid this year. But
Homer pick.
Another guy I wanted to shout out, though, that's not on this list, is the aging jitterbug Darren Sproles.
Ooh.
Who could get a lot of work catching passes in Philadelphia. They've got LeGarrette Blount for that early down role. After that,
who knows?
Wendell Smallwood, maybe. Ryan Matthews probably getting cut.
Yeah, he is.
Meanwhile, Sproles put up, especially in PPR format, Sproles put up a decent season last year. He's probably going to be a lock for about 50-some catches.
I don't hate
Wouldn't
it.
Be surprised if he got 100-ish carries, too, and he'll just have one of those very quietly solid but unspectacular years, and you can get him for basically free in drafts.
I agree with that. All right, I like it. Flip side of this coin. A vet that could completely fall off, and we've seen it in football so often, where a guy gets, he's chugging along, and you start to see a little bit of rust, but then that next season just completely falls off the cliff. Adam Rank, we'll start with you. Give me an aging vet that you believe has some serious red flags.
Carson Palmer.
Okay.
Is that too easy?
No, it's not too easy.
No, because I think we saw at the end of last year, or even it's the entire season, he just wasn't playing very well. And I think that he's one of those players who had a fine window, and the Cardinals could not get it done. You know, he retired. I mean, it seems so long ago when he retired.
Right?
I know he really just didn't want to play for the Bengals anymore, and who can blame him? But he still had a couple years with the Raiders and then went to Arizona. And then he's battled injuries, and he's somebody. And it really kind of frightens me for the majority of the Arizona offense, perhaps maybe not David Johnson, of course, who would still be a top three pick even if Drew Stanton was the quarterback.
Yeah.
But for Carson Palmer, because you're always looking for late round quarterbacks and somebody you can rely on. And Carson Palmer was that guy for me last year.
Yeah.
And it sucked. It was not good. It was
well,
not
it's because
fun.
2 years ago he had.
He was so great.
He was great.
Bruce Arians is there. And now
MVP candidate 2 years ago.
100%. And now, even with Bruce Arians, he's getting older and he's had a lot of health concerns. And you're like, how long is he going to be around?
Yeah.
I mean, is this one of those things where it's their last hurrah and they play really well and they make it another extended run in the playoffs? Or is it, it's their last hurrah and they go 4-12? And I could see it going that way. So that, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it scares me enough to be like, I don't want to deal with anybody outside of David Johnson.
Right. So we're talking about John Brown. We're talking about Larry Fitzgerald, guys who are fantasy relevant.
And if John Brown takes a ridiculous tumble, you're like, okay, fine. I think we got pushed in that when we did the 14 team mock draft where you're like, all right, now we're being ridiculous about John Brown. I'm going to take him here. But, yeah, even though I see the Cardinals
– I like it.
Taking a step back. I could see that benefiting the Seahawks. You know, the Seahawks just kind of cruising. It's been so competitive in the NFC West for a couple of years now because even with the Rams – not playing as well. They were competitive, and they were really
super
good.
Competitive.
They were really good in the division, too.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, that defense, man.
Of course. And so I think this could be an easy year for the Seahawks, and Arizona concerns me.
Okay. Matt Franciscovich, give me an aging vet you believe could have a precipitous fall.
So you put in the notes, and is being overdrafted. So I went with that, and I'm going to go Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, I see. A vet that could completely fall off and – is being completely overdrafted.
Right. So Marshawn
Lynch. You believe Marshawn is being overdrafted.
Yeah, he's being drafted as the 12th running back off the board right now, which I think is a little lower than maybe a week or two ago. I think we talked about this. But there seems to be two sides of the Marshawn Lynch argument.
Okay.
Some people think he's going to be a stud, like lead the league in rushing touchdowns. How could he not in an offense like Oakland? And then there's the other side of the coin that's like, yeah, but they have DeAndre Washington. They have Jalen Richard. Yeah. Marshawn Lynch hasn't played in an entire year. The last time we saw him, his body was broken down. I just don't think you can invest technically a second-round pick in a guy like Lynch this year and just have him as your RB1. I understand. I want him to do well. But
everyone wants him to do well.
Like,
that's
I
why
love
he's going
everyone loves beast mode, you know? But exactly. I don't see him being an RB1 in fantasy this year just because of all those things adding up.
That's, you know, Greg Rosenthal had a tweet yesterday, too, saying what his tweet was basically along the lines of, it's weird how the fantasy community is treating Marshawn Lynch like this is 2014 Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
But I think my counter to that was not really, because if this was 2014 Marshawn Lynch behind this offensive line, he'd be a top five pick, man.
Yeah, sure.
So, and I think that's why he's what we're seeing now is him going in the late second, early third round.
It also makes me sad that it makes me feel like Rosie isn't listening to our podcast.
Marcus, nobody listens to our podcast in this building.
In this building.
We love all our loyal listeners outside this building.
No, no, no. We've got – there's a nice fan base.
In the building?
Not here now.
I was like, really?
I was like, who's that?
I could start dropping a string of F-bombs.
Yes.
And nobody would know inside this building until somebody tweeted them.
I was like, as long as nobody tattletailed on you.
That would be the only way. Because there's there's a guy in here who listens to all the pod or listens to most of the podcasts because he doesn't listen to ours. And I won't call him out, but his name rhymes with Mark Brady. And he's kind of in charge of all the podcasts. And he doesn't even listen to this one. He will go through every second of every podcast except for this one. And it's like, I'll give him a dollar. Come to my desk. I will give you a dollar if you hear this.
I will phone.
And I swear, if one of you tell, and you know, actually, these people have been cool. These people, I've turned full wrestling people. You people don't understand. That's when you know the wrestlers made the change. Like, you people don't respect me. Good. You don't like bald people or whatever. No, nobody narked when I put Harmon up for The Bachelor. Did he ever get a bite on that?
I don't
think so. Damn it. So nobody narked on that. So you guys are cool. But yeah, if Mark Brady is literally listening to this, I will hand him a dollar out of my own wallet or out of Alex's if he leaves it on his desk. Actually, Dylan, one of our producers, always leaves his wallet on his desk. I'll take it from Dylan's wallet. I don't even know what the point is.
I don't know either.
Marshawn.
Okay.
Yes. Marshawn Lynch.
I think people are drafting are viewing Marshawn like they were viewing Latavius Murray. They're just assuming he's going to have Latavius Murray's production. It's
I think
not
that's
like,
fair. 1,000 yards.
It's he had
8 to 10 touchdowns.
40,
that's good.
40 love, red zone carries. I mean, yes, that's valuable, but.
Yeah, I get that. And I don't think that we're wrong. Like, I don't think we're far off from what we're saying. I think that the Around the League podcast likes to just make these narratives. And like, because two of them came from the fantasy community.
Yeah.
So they like to be like, you fantasy idiots.
Yeah.
that's not always us. And like, listen, do you want to go through your Making the Leap candidates from last year? Because you guys aren't, I don't know.
Say the same thing. It's like,
you guys aren't always right either. Like, so don't act like we're some rubes who don't understand football.
No, I've had good discussions with Wes about this sometimes.
I love them. No, and I'm not disparaging any of them. I have great affection for all of them.
It's a general thing, real quick aside, that like football writers use fantasy as just the whipping horse in, you know, the – media NFL coverage. We're like, oh, well, fantasy guys said this. But come on, look, like when you're in the business of having to project and forecast everything, you're inherently going to be wrong. You're not going to be right in a completely unpredictable game. But let's never forget that Andy Benoit said Joseph Randle should be a top 12 pick. Top 12.
Oh, top 12. Gosh.
Anyways.
He had 3 touchdowns in that one game.
Back to veterans.
That's true.
Rant over. All right, good. I don't even – where do we leave off?
Marshawn.
He was crushing Marshawn Lynch.
I wasn't crushing him. He said, I love Marshawn Lynch.
He said he's going to be a bust.
I'm just avoiding him at his ADP because he's old and being overdrafted. That's all I'm saying.
Aging veteran. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, that could completely fall off the cliff this year.
I was going to go with Matt Forte, but I feel like that's sort of not fair.
Not only is he the GOAT,
we shall mention
also my best friend.
I also that was part of the reason. So instead, I'm going to go Brandon Marshall.
Okay.
You know, I think everybody just assumes that he's going to elbow Sterling Shepard out of the way for all these extra targets, and I'm not totally sure about that. You know, we're talking about a guy who is, what, he's 33 years old.
Yeah.
Kind of been around the league for a little while. I think he will certainly get some maybe extra looks in the red zone, but I don't know that he walks into a number two role in this offense. I add to it that right now he's coming off the board ahead of some guys like Golden Tate, you know, Dante Moncrief, Larry Fitzgerald, Willie Snead, Stephon Diggs, guys who I think will earn a larger target share in their respective offenses that seem maybe not guaranteed, but certainly on track for a larger target share in their respective offenses. You know, I don't know that I could spend a late fifth-round pick on Brandon Marshall when some of those other guys are still hanging around out there.
He's a top 60 pick on Fantasy Football Calculator.
I was going to say Marshall, too.
I would take no piece of that.
So I'll just chime in. Last year, he posted the lowest catch rate of his career and the second lowest touchdown total. He saw over almost 130 targets, too, which is a number he'll be hard-pressed to get in New York with Sterling Shepard there, Evan Ingram, Odell Beckham commanding a ton. And on top of that, like, yeah, you could point to his quarterback play last year being subpar. I don't know if anybody watched Eli Manning the last, like, 6 games of the year when he averaged 6 yards per attempt and 5 yards adjusted per attempt.
He couldn't get
those
out.
Are Brock Osweiler numbers.
Yeah,
like,
couldn't get
I'm not exaggerating. Like, if you those were his numbers for the season, he would have been on par with Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
And also, when it – obviously, the Jets did not have great quarterback play. But one thing that the quarterbacks that did play for them threw it to Brandon Marshall
a lot
every
a lot.
Time.
Yeah.
Forced it. So that's why Fitzpatrick had so many interceptions, because he always was forcing the ball to Marshall. Which was great, because I had Marshall on one of my teams.
That'll contribute to a bad catch rate, as if a lot of passes are getting thrown at you that are getting intercepted. But like,
I agree with you, but he's not going to get those targets.
I would be baffled if he got 130 targets.
Oh, there's no way.
I say Sterling Shepard gets more targets.
I think Shepard's a nice sleeper. There was an article the other day on NFL.com where he was quoted saying, I'm excited to have Brandon Marshall here because it's him and OBJ on the outside are going to open things up for me and Evan Ingram on
the inside. We talked about that on Monday.
Yeah.
Or last Thursday or whatever.
And the Giants ran more 3 wide sets than
anybody.
Yeah.
That's like, their whole offense.
That was the majority of their plays last year with 3 wide sets and 4 wide sets. So Shepard's going to be out there.
I'm with you. Yeah. I love Shepard this season. And he's not old enough to rent a car, so you would also.
And you could get him super late.
That's so franchise.
Give me a break.
Franchise loves him.
Yes.
Hey, did you ever own a Nintendo? No, I love you.
Yes, good. Perfect. Brandon Marshall with a top 60 pick is, to me, baffling.
Yeah.
Baffling. I can't see this guy living up to that price tag. At 33 years old, we saw the wheels come off last year.
Yeah.
I just, man, to me, no way am I touching Brandon Marshall with a top 60 pick. That is insanity to me. And I get it, too. 2 years ago, we're talking about a guy that put up 1,500 yards. And what was it, 15 touchdowns? Something crazy.
Yeah, like 14.
A crazy amount of touchdowns.
Right.
And so that wasn't, you know, that was recent memory. And I understand that, but no way do I see. We mentioned Sterling Shepard. We mentioned OBJ. Although I do think it's a little bit. Am I the only person in the room that is scared that Brandon Marshall might actually detract from OBJ's value a little bit?
No.
Yes, you are.
Nah.
No way.
Okay.
No, you're the only one.
I'm the only one in that.
You're the only one thinks that.
No, I know. I know.
Yes. Yes.
I know. And I know it's a little bit. You know,
listen, Brandon Marshall. Listen. You're gonna go do Inside the NFL on Tuesday nights. Come out here, take a couple of photos in that Giants uniform. We'll throw you a couple of passes, but You know this is Odell Beckham Jr.'s team. Like, let's be real.
You just turn this into, like, a no-show job for Brandon Marshall? like he's a big-time college quarterback or something?
It happens. Like, it happens to the receivers where you're like, oh, this guy will play forever, and then they fall off. It reminds me of, like, Keenan McCardell when he was with the Chargers. You're like, gosh, if he has another season like the last one, and I forget what his last productive season, you're like, this guy could be flirting with the Hall of Fame. And then the next year he just – disappeared, and he was just mid-30s, you know?
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we talked about –
good sound effect there.
That's great. We talked about some notable vets that could defy father time. We talked about some notable vets that could completely fall off. But let's talk about some big-name veterans that, again, are kind of getting up there in terms of age. Larry Fitzgerald, 33 years old, had 107 receptions last year, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Adam Rank, I know that you're –
that led the NFL, right?
107 receptions.
Was he second behind?
I think he led the NFL.
He led the NFL.
In receptions,
that's what's so crazy.
I think he led.
It was kind of a depressed year for receptions and targets because I think the target leader was like 20-30 off. It was Mike Evans
yeah.
from what used to be the tops.
Because what Mike Evans had like 165 or something.
174, I
okay.
think, 72.
Yeah.
So that means crazy to think about. The Cardinals had David Johnson, who was otherworldly compared to other fantasy players. And then Larry Fitzgerald also chipped in with 107 receptions.
He was great in PPR.
I don't know if that says anything about the rest of the supporting cast.
Yeah.
Or what have you.
You touched on it briefly there, talking about, you know, Carson Palmer in Arizona, but large concern for Larry Fitzgerald.
I mean, I'm doing this relative to where his value is, where his ADP is going, and when you play in leagues.
He's got an ADP in the mid-70s, by the way.
Yeah, well, that still seems – but everybody who's doing those leagues now are quote-unquote sharps.
Yeah.
So I think he falls a little bit, but I think when you get to more casual players, he's going to go off the board sooner. And I think that if you are, you know, if you're new to the game or you're more – and that, which is cool, man. We want you on board and having fun.
100%.
And doing all that stuff. You know, let somebody else take a risk on that. I love Larry Fitzgerald. I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no doubt
about
it.
One of the best receivers I've ever
100%,
seen. But
yeah.
I think – that unless he tumbles a little bit further in your draft, that I would – there's other guys I would rather
– if he gets into round 11, 12.
Oh, of course, 100%.
Yeah,
then
no
you're
doubt.
Fine.
Yeah,
then
no
you're
doubt.
Fine.
All right, there you go. Can we talk about Jamaal Charles, 30 years old. God, I feel like this guy's been in the league a long time. But 30 years old. You know, I was looking into Jamaal Charles. I forgot – I mean, of course we knew about him being hurt last year, right? I forgot that he was hurt for almost all of 2015 as well.
Yep.
It's been two full seasons since we've seen Jamaal Charles be healthy. He played 3 games last year, had 12 total carries, and he played 5 games in 2015. He opens camp reportedly healthy. He is a top 100 player on Fantasy Football Calculator, and I think the news of Devontae Booker will only help his value. MG, my guy, Marcus Grant, your thoughts on Jamaal Charles?
I'm scared. You're talking about a guy who's had, you know, a couple major knee injuries in his career. You mentioned that he's played a total of 8 games in the last 2 seasons.
8 games.
8 in the last 2 seasons.
That's right.
I don't know. It just, you know, I know part of when you hear from athletes, especially who've gone through major knee injuries like this, even if physically everything is sound, so many of them will tell you that part of it is just mentally trusting that injury.
That's a great
after
point.
After having spent that much time away, you know, obviously I don't know how Jamaal Charles is thinking about this. I don't know how he's feeling mentally about it. But you wonder, you know, if he has that sort of consternation, is he going to get the opportunities enough to kind of work through it, especially with CJ Anderson there, you know, whenever Devontae Booker potentially comes back? Is he going to get enough love? Is he going to get enough looks to actually work through this and look like the former Jamaal Charles? And, you know, for that reason, I don't know that I would touch him in a draft. I don't know if anybody is, but I certainly wouldn't.
That's interesting. I kind of like where he's going.
Well, this is –
If he goes in the 11th round
right.
and knowing that Devontae Booker won't be there to start the season – And again, I know his health is fragile, but I don't know. I don't hate it.
I'm viewing this as like the same way we viewed Arian Foster going into last year.
Okay.
But Arian Foster's ADP was in like the 5th round.
Yeah,
it was something crazy.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
Where Charles is now, yeah, maybe you can take a flyer on him.
100%.
But I want to see him on the field in training camp in a preseason game, see what he looks like,
see if
his knees work.
Honestly, I generally avoid, you know, aging players like this, you know, obviously 2 seasons just obliterated by injury, but
yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's just, I think the offense can be okay. I think the talent level is certainly there if he's healthy. And again, just the price tag that you're paying in the 11th round, I'll sign up for Jamal Charles there. Why not? If it's lightning in a bottle, great. And if it's not, what the hell do I care? I'll cut bait and move on to somebody else. But I don't hate the pick there if you're going to get him in the 11th or 12th.
Okay, so
you're looking at the bargain bin at the back of Ralph's.
So how long is this loaf of bread, perhaps a week old, the manager's special, but
man.
It's 50 cents.
So how long do you hang on to him, though, to figure out if you've caught that lightning in a bottle? Because it's got to be more than 1 week, right?
Right.
So, I mean, are you hanging on to him for a month? Because then you've pretty much locked up that roster spot for a month waiting for him to pop.
And that is the thing, right? And we've talked about it on this podcast, too.
Oh.
Too soon.
Boo this man.
No chill, man.
Sorry.
We've talked about it on this podcast before, too, right? Like, if you're, you know, investing a deep sleeper pick on a guy, don't bail on him after a week. So you're right. If I'm going to spend an 11th round pick on Jamal Charles, I'm waiting at least 3 weeks to see if there's anything there. You're right.
Yeah.
You're 100%
just,
right.
And just for context, guys going in the same range, CJ Procise, James White, Darren Sproles we talked about, Jeremy Hill.
Mm.
These guys all have way more upside, I would say, than Jamal Charles.
That's interesting.
And less risk.
I would agree with Procise. Jeremy Hill, you think? More upside?
Yeah, for the touchdowns.
Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. We'll move on. Let's talk about Adrian Peterson, 32 years old. He played 3 games last year, coming off of a meniscus tear of his own. In 2015, though, we're talking about a guy that had 1,700 total yards and 11 total touchdowns. He was an absolute monster in 2015, as we've seen so often in Adrian Peterson's career. But now he's in New Orleans. Alex Gilhar, I want to get your thoughts on AP there.
I don't know, man. Like, this is so, we haven't seen, it's, this is such a hard one to figure out because, like, we don't know anything about this situation right now. We don't know how Adrian Peterson has bounced back from his devastating leg injury last year. We don't know how the split's going to happen between him and Mark Ingram. We don't know, like, New Orleans has been one of the past happiest teams in the last several years, even as Breeze gets up there in age. We don't know if they're going to switch and suddenly start handing off more and going to even more of a power running scheme. So I wish I had more information for you, but I don't. And this backfield drives me crazy.
Your lukewarm response, despite it being so passionate, on Adrian Peterson, I think is a little bit rare in fantasy because a lot of managers are like, no. Absolute hard pass on AP in New Orleans. And then there are certain guys, you know, Evan Silva comes to mind. He's cautiously optimistic.
I mean, he's going
about AP.
The 4.08. He's going at the 8th pick in the 4th round on average in 12 team drafts.
He's going in the 4th round in 12 teamers?
No.
Yes.
No.
I'd pass on that.
Oh, yes, no, he's going 4.08.
Nope.
Ingram's going 2 rounds later.
That's a hard pass for me.
Like,
see, but right, it's all the ADP.
I keep coming back to the fact that you're going to have to reach for running backs because people are panicked right now because nobody knows what to expect. And so people are, I think, opting for the safety of familiar names, which is, you know, how you get Marshawn Lynch right now in the 2nd round of 12 teamers. It's how you get Adrian Peterson in the 4th round of 12 teamers. Because
Frank Gore's going in the 7th round.
There's so much uncertainty at the position. People are literally just reaching for somebody they think can give them something.
Right. Yeah.
So, like, at some point, like, you can't look, I just don't think you can look at an RB ADP and be like, ew, gross, I don't want it. That's the price now.
I don't know.
That's the price.
Like when you see a Bud Light for $12
right, and you're like, this sucks.
Gross.
But I'm going to pay it anyway.
I gotta play it.
Okay, the thing is, though, like, Peterson is in some sort of committee here. Like, Kamara's going to catch some passes.
Yeah.
Like, they're
Mark
still
Ingram.
Paying Ingram, unless he's a surprise training camp cut. They're not going to just feed Peterson 250 carries. So, like, if you're taking somebody in a clear committee, like I just said, I mean, even Frank Gore, who's not in a committee, is going in the 7th round. Danny Woodhead's going in the 7th round.
Right.
Yeah. Jonathan Stewart's going in the 8th round. Matt Forte, Terrence West, Thomas Rawls going in the 9th round. Like, Jeremy Hill in the 10th. Why would you sink a 4th round pick into that guy, even if he is all-world amazing player of the past, Adrian Peterson? Like, who knows what's going to happen this year? Like, that's just not smart drafting when you could get something that's very likely equitable 3 to 6 to 7 rounds later.
I agree.
Well, Jamal Charles is in the exact same situation.
Is he not?
And he's going in the 11th and Peterson's going in the 4th.
That's
– like, I understand your point, Marcus, about reaching for running backs at times, but, like, My God, is that a steep price to pay for a guy in an obvious committee that we don't know the for sure split of?
And again, it's a completely different offense than he's used to running. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I'll pass on that. By the way, Frank Gore, 34 years old. Drew Brees, 38. Philip Rivers, 35. The great Tom
Brady.
Wait,
how 39. Old's Drew Brees?
He's going to be 38 years old, yeah. He is 38 years old. Philip Rivers is an old 35, man.
Yeah, 35.
He has taken some monster hits over the last few years. But Tom Brady, 39 years old, just an oh, by the way.
Speaking of Rivers, to bring it back full circle from Cardale, shout out to Will Brinson of CBS, who had my favorite tweet on the matter last night, that the Chargers just signed a backup quarterback who has fewer NFL attempted passes than Philip Rivers has children.
Wow.
Well done.
Oh,
if you don't follow Will Brinson on Twitter, fix that. He's great for news and analysis.
No, he's good.
And his jokes are
he's great. I love
on point.
Yeah. I love him. All right, let's close out with a round of Daily Daps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Daps and hooks. Give me daps, because I'll be scribbling rap.
Give me dabbing up daps abound. Daps.
By the way, I'll be remiss in not at least saying hello to the Facebook Live people. I know there have been some audio issues today, but Billy Mitchell, we welcome you in. Corey Lemon, we welcome you in. Who asked? We'll answer this one question. How about that? David Johnson or Lev Bell at the top of your draft, non-PPR. Who do you guys got? To me, it's a coin flip. I don't know.
That's why he's asking.
Yeah, no.
I'm DJ.
Does anyone have a strong opinion either way?
No.
Not really, but I'm a DJ guy.
I think I currently have Bell as my number one.
I would go with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, me too.
David Johnson.
Okay.
When it comes, I don't know, it probably should be
0%. That's right. That's right.
Well, it was majority Lev Bell.
Hey, 3-2.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Majority Lev Bell. There you go. Boom. All right, let's talk about Daily Daps. We'll go around the horn. Alex Gilhar, give me your Daily Daps.
First off, I mentioned it earlier, Daily Daps to the U.S. men's national team for becoming Gold Cup champions last night. They beat Jamaica 2-1. Solid performance overall, and it was good.
They had to come from behind on that one, no?
No, they were out in front. Then Jamaica tied it, and they scored a late goal to get the victory.
Okay.
Jordan Morris, Jozy Altidore both had great shots for the win, so it was good to see the team get that W and get a little momentum leading into the World Cup next year. Second Daily Dap is to the man in North Carolina who robbed a bank for $1 to get arrested so he could go to jail and get health care and a roof over his head.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Like, it is the craziest story. It's on NPR.
Wow.
He was out of work, and he had a couple medical problems. So he went into the bank, handed the teller a note that said, "This is a bank robbery. Please only give me $1. And then he waited for the police. And in his explaining why, he said he's hoping for a 3-year sentence. He'd then be able to collect Social Security and handle his medical issues that he's got a couple.
He's hoping for a 3-year sentence.
Yes.
Holy hell.
So, like, that's just – it's a crazy story that, like, that's a loophole in the American system right now, but that it has to be that somebody's like, holy crap, I don't have health care or anything. I should rob a bank to go to jail to get the treatment and stuff that I need. So it's an interesting story. Like, shout out to that guy for being he's an older gentleman. He's 59. Like, for being creative, but, like,
it's a new Breaking Bad spinoff.
It's a new Breaking Bad spinoff. Yeah, he had a growth on his chest and 2 ruptured discs. But he's out of work and has no insurance, so he's going to jail to get taken care of.
Interesting. All right. What do you got, franchise?
Yeah, I got 2 Daily Daps today. First, I'm going to Daily Daps the Haim video, music video for Want You Back. You know Haim, their three sisters
is that
trio.
I thought it was Haim. I have no idea.
It's like Time Haim.
Oh, okay.
The music video, though, is super simple. It's the three girls walking down an abandoned Ventura Boulevard. It's one single camera shot the whole way, and it's just them walking and doing really dorky dance moves. But I couldn't look away. I just couldn't look away, and the song is really good, too.
All right.
And I'm also going to daps this feature on Spotify called Behind the Lyrics. I don't know if you guys have Spotify on your phones.
I do not.
But if it's available on Android and iPhone now, too. You pull up a song, and you're playing it. If it's like a more popular mainstream song,
okay,
they have this thing called Behind the Lyrics, and it comes up as you're looking at your phone, and it gives you some of the lyrics as you're listening to the song, and then it gives you tidbits about the meaning behind the song or what's going on with the artist or what inspired them to write this album or whatever. And it's really informative, and you can learn a lot of awesome tidbits about your favorite artist. So next time you're listening to a song on your phone on Spotify, look a little closer. You'll see the thing come up, and you might learn something.
MG, my guy, Marcus Grant.
A couple of daily dabs. One, June Foray, who passed away this morning, I believe, who you probably don't know her name or her face, but you know her voice if you watched any Looney Tunes, because any non-Mel Blanc voice was probably her. A ton of cartoon voices. She was Natasha from the Bullwinkle and Rocky show. Just go through her IMDb page, and you'll see all sorts of stuff that you probably grew up with and remember from your childhood. So she was just a couple months away from turning 100. And passed away. Also, daily daps to my sister, because her birthday's on Saturday.
Nice.
Not that she's going to hear this, but happy birthday to you, and your gift is in the mail. We will talk soon. Love you.
Ah, great. The great Adam Rank hit me.
Thank you so much. Shout out, or daps, whatever we're doing.
Yeah, it's not a daily shout out.
Daily shout outs to Mike Clay. Hey, I know that you love strength of schedule stuff.
Yes.
Mike Clay put out a strength of schedule based on actual rosters.
Okay.
And not on the way the teams finished last year.
Okay.
So if you want to check that out, he tweeted it out this morning, which is Thursday morning. The Cowboys have the toughest schedule according to their opponents and based on their roster construction. The Ravens, who we were talking about earlier in the show, come in seventh easiest. And the Bengals have the easiest.
Okay.
So apparently those two games against the Browns and the Steelers D and everything like that probably helps out. So that was some nice work. I still, again, the NFL is so volatile. Still take that kind of stuff with a grain of salt, but whatever.
Okay.
Shout out to Norm McDonald. He's got a, I don't know how you, it's not really a podcast, but I guess it is because it's on YouTube. It's a YouTube live stream that he does. He had an interview with David Letterman. I haven't been able to get through all of it, but it's amazing. Norm and David together again for the first time on YouTube. It's great stuff. And Dave's beard is just in its glory. Just there.
His retirement beard?
His retirement beard is pretty strong.
Okay, good.
And speaking of comedians who are on retirement, Jon Stewart announced this week that he'll have a stand-up special coming up very soon, which is great news. I've always enjoyed his stand-up, and I really became a fan of his. Number one, I used to work at the Irvine Improv with their staff, and I really loved his stand-up because it was hilarious. He was also part of an animated series called Dr. Katz, and if you have the means to go out and search this out, I think you can find some of the clips on YouTube as well. It's a little different. It's not necessarily going to be for everybody. And the great H. John Benjamin is the voice of Dr. Katz's son. So that's also very good. So you hear Sterling Archer as a young man messing with his dad, who's a psychiatrist. Dr. Katz is another
comic. Dr. Katz is great.
It really is worth your while going and seeking out. And we talked a little bit, too, at the top of the show where you were talking about some of the veterans. And any time you say a player's name during this time of year, you're always a little bit worried that is he injured? Like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk to Marshall. Why? What happened? You know, you have that kind of reaction. Yesterday on Twitter, or Wednesday on Twitter, Ric Flair was trending. And
yeah.
You're like, oh, God.
I know.
Sarn it.
Yeah.
No.
But no, it was good news.
No, it was good news because his 30 for 30 is coming out.
I can't wait.
That is going to be amazing. That's coming out in November. I can only imagine how good it'll be because really we didn't see the best parts of Ric Flair's career because, first of all, he's way older than all of us.
Okay.
He was in a regional type of thing, the NWA, which bled into WCW. I didn't have a lot of exposure to it. I would get the wrestling mags because I always had bad allergies as a kid, and where we played Little League Baseball was at the bottom of the riverbed, the Santa Ana riverbed, out there in Corona, California. So I would get, like, some nasty sinus infection. And my mom would go out and buy, like, all these Mad magazines and Pro Wrestling Illustrated and all that stuff for me to read because, heaven forbid, I do actual schoolwork. It's like, you're sick, bro. Like, you're not doing schoolwork.
Okay.
So that's how I knew who Ric Flair was, and then he showed up in the WWE, and you're like, oh my God. So this will be interesting to see a lot of his early career stuff, and hopefully go in and do a deep dive. And of course,
It's crazy because he's to millennials, he's almost just become a meme guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He's the woo guy.
Yeah, he's the woo guy.
And by the way, people, stop trying to appropriate that. Mark Gubiza, who is the Angels color commentator, for the last 2 years. At least 2 years.
Okay.
We have been using Ric Flair memes It has been our thing. It's on Twitter. I have a fair enough of a following to be like, okay, you might have seen it once. Don't start ripping it like the Astros are doing it now. Like Astros, like stuff. I know that it's fun for you to be relevant for a change, but stop stealing our stuff. There's no need for
that. Wouldn't be the first time.
You know?
That they
steal
stuff inappropriately.
Yeah, I gotcha. I'm fine. Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
It was subtle.
Yeah.
he's also a 16-time world champion, and I'm scared because John Cena now has 16 world championships.
He does?
And he came out on Tuesday night, and he went after Jinder Mahal, and you're like, well, here it goes. But thankfully, Daniel Bryan had the wherewithal.
Okay, they did the right thing.
He said, dude, you just don't get to come out here and demand a title shot. You got to face Nakamura.
Okay.
Now, the wrestling mark in me, who loved Nakamura from Japan, is hoping that Nakamura just nerfs him and kicks his ass into retirement to the Today Show or whatever he's going to go do.
So
but we know that's not good. He's going
to
beat Nakamura. So I think that they, on the way to him getting that 17th title, they're like, how can we piss off the Smarks as much as possible? I know we'll have him beat Nakamura. We'll have him beat AJ Styles. We'll have him go to New Japan and beat Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
Go to Ring of Honor.
Wow.
Beat the Young Bucks.
We got a full-on pro wrestling rant going on.
Well, I think people, they tune in for the pro wrestling at the very end.
Do.
Listen, if they're listening an hour 20 into this, they are not going to mind, right? You're waiting for the wrestling takes. Because they were upset I didn't talk about it. I didn't do a Battleground preview. So
right, can I go?
Can I say, Saramucci. Saraguchi. The new guy?
Scaramucci.
Scaramucci.
The Mooch?
Scaramucci. Can you do the Fandango?
We talked about this recently of people following you on Twitter
that won't
allow you to talk S about him. Did he get you guys too?
Oh, yeah, he follows.
He follows literally everybody. He follows.
He's got 100, but but it's like, nope, I'm not falling for that one.
Okay.
Because if somebody famous, you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, are they following 110,000 people?
Yeah.
Okay. You're like, okay.
James, can I slip one more in before you go? I just saw this come across Twitter.
Yeah.
Did you guys see this thing about Adrian Beltre getting ejected for dragging
the
on-deck circle?
Yes, he moved. The umpire asked him to stand in the on-deck circle because he was not. So he literally picked it up.
His whole career, basically.
And dragged it.
He's stood a little off of it because he's gotten hit with foul balls on the on-deck circle. So he stands a little off of it in a less high volume area to get hit, and the dude was like, you need to stand on the mat. So not even like in a dickish move, he goes over and pulls the mat to where he is and gets tossed.
It's ejected.
That's amazing.
That's great.
By the way, two people we've just talked about in the last 5 minutes have sat shotgun in my car. Adrian Beltre and Norm MacDonald.
Cool name drops, bro.
Wow.
I was, again.
You want to clean this up and pick up those names Rank is dropping in there?
I'm sorry. I'm just telling a story.
Beltre hit a home run last night, and they lost 10-22. So I guess he was upset for a reason.
Okay. All right. There you go. Can I go now? Would that be okay as we close up?
You not want the story?
I don't at all.
No, I don't. We don't. Save it for next time.
Here, let me tell you. So here's.
So I will daily dap.
No, hold on.
Video. A couple music videos.
5 minutes. That's all I need.
Major Lazer. The song is called No Better.
Nice.
Travis Scott, Camila Cabello, and Quavo, who is just killing the rap world right now, the hip-hop world. The video for Major Lazer, No Better, just came out, I think, last week. But, man, it's a cool video, man. I like it. I won't give it away. Just go watch it. I ran across this other video, too. It's just so random, but it's a group of three Chinese guys from China, but they've got, like, this whole Dirty South trap music sound going. And it's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy sound. You would never expect it at all, but it's a full-on, like, no, for reals, they're from China rap group, and it's legit. And so I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it.
What's their name?
They're called Higher Brothers, and their song Higher Brothers featuring Keith Ape, We Chat. It's the video for that song is, it's very interesting. It's shot vertical, so like the whole thing is like done
like
on their phone.
Phone.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So anyways, I thought it was done well. And the song is great. The video is it can be not safe for work, depending on where you work, I guess.
What about here?
Will I get the referee?
I don't think you'll get the referee because it's on YouTube. Anyways, it's Higher Brothers featuring Keith Ape. The song is called We Chat. Anyways, that is it for me. That is it for the show. Subscribe to the podcast. Rate the podcast. review the podcast. And, of course, go to NFL.com/draftkit for all your draft kit.
Let me know if you want the Norm McDonald's.
I do not. For the WizKid from Wisconsin,
it's so
Alex Gellhar, Matt Franciscovich, MG, my guy Marcus Grant, Adam Rank. I'm James Coe.
But if you want to hear the story, Facebook Live tomorrow.
See you later.
Frank, I will say, though, for you disparaging the digital jukeboxes, they have opened us up to a whole new world of a lot of them you can just do by your phone, so you can troll an entire bar. Like
you can totally troll.
When you're leaving, you just go, like, here's $12 worth of Bieber. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Aaron Nagler was talking about that the other night. That somebody
James, are you on three or two?
I am on three.
Gotcha.
For the music he was playing, yeah. So he started playing a bunch of George Michael.
Yeah, like you can. It makes it so easy to troll the bar or like get into to jukebox.
If you really hate people, because you can like pay to move your song.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can pay so much.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. Yeah,
the next song,
the iPay or whatever. Well, even back with digital stuff, you could do a lot of. I'm leaving the bar and I'm going to play three verses of Freebird. Because that's a good 20 minutes as well.
Yeah.
But it's a great song, so nobody's really that mad.
That's true.
Currently not the greatest song of all time, per our poll, though.
Per our poll. You have a poll out?
We have a very...
biased poll. I wouldn't participate in it.
It's a scientific poll.
I said it was akin to voting, is the Earth flat or not?
Uh-huh. I see.
So, well, people who are only flat earthers... would be incentivized to go vote for something like that.
James, the poll is, debate with Adam Rank, is Freebird the greatest song of all time? Yes, no, Stairway to Heaven is.
But here's my thing, is it's not...
What's with Stairway to Heaven winning?
Yeah, Stairway to Heaven is winning 62.
My point was, and this was a thing, it's like, but, because I was saying, what is the number two song of all time? Because everybody universally agrees,
yes,
Freebird number one.
I would...
Nobody disagrees with that.
It's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah.
It is.
It's just accepted. Like, yeah, okay.
Okay.